Thank you, Jackson. Good job. Take your Bibles. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5 as we continue our series on the Ten Commandments. And we're going to look at verse 11 this morning. The third commandment. If you'd like to honor God's word by standing, you may do so at this time. Verse 11, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Amen. You may be seated. You ever stop to think why many of the Ten Commandments are in the negative? Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But every negative has a positive. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. The positive is hallow that name. Glorify that name. Lift that name up. Exalt that name. So every negative has a positive. You know, the battery in your car has negative and positive poles. If you put your hand on one of them alone, no problem. But if you get a hold of both of them, it can fry your hair. That's what happened to me. It takes the negative and the positive together to give you that power to really understand these commandments of God. So the positive nature is let's always honor and magnify God's name. Jesus said, in a model prayer, we ought to pray, hallowed be thy name. Holy is thy name. The psalmist said in Psalm 8:9, how majestic is thy name. There are just a lot of verses that we can look at that speaks of how wonderful is the name of God. So we're going to think about that this morning, about the name of God. Not to take that name in vain. We're going to look at the different ways that can happen. But that we always reverence his name. You know, what's in a name? We see a lot of people in the Bible given names that speak of their character. Some had their names changed. Abram, which meant high father, God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Jacob, which means supplanter, his name was changed to Israel, which means a prince with God. Simon, which means hearer, Jesus changed his name to Peter, which means a rock. So we think about that. Jesus is a perfect example of that. The angel said to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus or Yeshua, which means Jehovah saves. So call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So let's think about it. If you want to take notes, let's just think about the meaning of the name. First of all, there's personality in that name. As we say, the name speaks of a reputation. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name. That's why we tell our children to honor the family name. Don't take the family name and drag it through the mud. Honor that name that's been passed on to you. Parents get to name their children. Those that are expecting, they make lists. They look at baby name books. They field suggestions. They try various combinations, how that first name would go with the last name. They might consider the initials. What would be the initials? Now, if we had named Shelby Olivia West, her initials would be S-O-W, Sal. She probably wouldn't like that. She's slow now, Shelby Lynn O'Brien. But you take into all these things when you're naming your children. Now, we don't get to name ourselves, do we? How many of you don't like your first name? Raise your hand if you don't like your first name. Just two of us? I got my name up. See, the reason I can't get any of you to name your little boys Dwight, because it's a stupid name. That's why. People say D. White, which is even worse. So we don't get to name ourselves. But God named himself. God named him. God revealed himself to us through a plurality of names that you find in the Bible. He is the Lord thy God, we see here. That word Lord in the Hebrew is Yahweh. Yahweh. In the original Hebrew language, Yahweh has no vowels. It had no vowels in the original Hebrew language. The reader has to supply the vowels. And so Yahweh, or we say Jehovah, speaks of the Lord God. It's his personal name. I am Jehovah, thy God. Many Orthodox Jews will not even say out loud Yahweh. They say it's such a holy name that they feel unworthy to even speak that name. They often use the word Adonai instead, or Hashem. Hashem means the name. Hashem. Instead of saying Yahweh, they say Hashem. Because that name is so sacred to them. We ought to learn from that, folks. We ought to consider that name just as sacred as they do. And not to use that name in such a casual or even profane manner. Say there's power in that name. The word Jehovah, it means covenant keeper. It is how God identifies himself and the relationship that we can have with him. We can enter into a covenant relationship with God. And he wants us to know that he is a God who keeps his word. Another Hebrew word for God is El, or Elohim. El is singular, Elohim is the plural. That speaks of the mighty one. The Elohim speaks of the Trinity. So you might say the three strong ones. Together, Jehovah Elohim pictures a covenant-keeping God who has the power to keep his promises. That is the God that we serve. So let's learn to hallow that name. The Bible, or Jesus said, John 14:14, that if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That's why we end our prayers in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we do pray. Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or do or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything in the power of that precious name. Then there's protection in that name. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Hey, if Satan gets after you, here's what you do. Take refuge in the name of Jesus Christ. Run to him as our strong tower. Like the hymn we like to sing, take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. If temptation around you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet. It's a sweet name, amen. There's many names, compound names that God reveals himself. A name added to Jehovah, such as Jehovah Nissi, which means God is my banner, or he fights my battles. Jehovah Jireh. That's the name Abraham learned about God on Mount Horeb when he was going to offer up his son as a sacrifice, and God stopped him, and he saw a ram caught in a thicket. And Abraham learned a new name, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Nissi, the banner. Jehovah Shalom, God is peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. So you got all these names by which God identifies himself to us. And there's praise. There's provision in that name, as we see with these compound names. Then there's praise in that name. See, when you see the personality, the power, the protection, the provision in the name of the Lord, should that not cause us to want to praise his name? We come today to praise and exalt the name of our God. How we ought to do that. The psalmist said in Psalm 8:1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 34:3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Now, folks, you ought to teach your children and your grandchildren to honor that name. Teach them to honor that name, to exalt that name. Never to take that name in vain, whether carelessly or thoughtlessly. Teach them. Teach them songs. I told you last Sunday, start singing with your children. Teach your children songs that glorify the name of the Lord. And sing with them at home. Nothing wrong with that. I think that's good. To teach our children such songs. Here's a second thought I want to share with you. Let's think about the misuse of that name. The misuse of that name. There is the vanity of profanity. One of the most ignorant things people can do is to profane the name of God our Creator, of God our Savior. When we use God's name profanely, it shows two things. It shows an empty head and a wicked heart. That's what it shows. To take God's name in vain shows an empty head, a wicked, it reveals a feeble mind that has trouble expressing itself. What's a person get for taking God's name in vain? What do you gain from that? Tell you what you get divine judgment. Because God says, I'll not hold you guiltless if you take my name in vain. Jesus said, Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Folks, a profane mouth just testifies of a profane heart. Amen. Why don't people take the names of false gods in vain? Instead of saying, oh my God, say, oh my Allah. Nobody ever does that, do they? Instead of taking Jesus' name in vain, how about Hari H. Krishna? Nobody ever does that. Nobody ever takes the name of false gods in vain. They only take the name of the true and living God in vain. People take Jesus' name, Jesus H. Christ. That just makes my blood run cold. I'll never forget as a youngster living up in Illinois in elementary school, walking home from school one day, a teenage boy come bursting out of his house, and at the top of his lungs, Jesus Christ. That really, I'll never forgotten that. But how horrible to take that precious name and use it as a curse word. But it's pretty common today, isn't it? You can hardly go through a day if you're around a lot of people without hearing God's name taken in vain. Oh my God is not a good thing to say. Those of you that like to put OMG on your post, y'all not do that.
Amen.
Don't do that. You're using God's name lightly. And he does not appreciate his name being used in that sense. So if you got a problem with that, ask God to help you overcome that. And stop using that term. I heard about a little girl who went to a Sunday school for the first time. She heard the teacher tell about the birth of Jesus. She talked about the birth of God's Son, about the angels, about the wise men, about the star and the shepherds. And the teacher said, "And they shall call his name Jesus." The little girl was shocked. And she asked, "Why did they have to name such a sweet baby a swear word?" Because the only time she ever heard that name in her home was as a swear word. Do you realize there's children around, the only time they ever hear the name Jesus is a swear word? That's all they know about it. Isn't that pitiful? That's so horrible to raise children in that manner. Hallowed be thy name. They need to be taught this. I've had people say, "Well, when I mention about them taking God's name, they say, 'Oh, preacher, I don't mean anything by it.'" That's a problem. God's name doesn't mean anything to you. That's why you use it this way. It doesn't mean anything to you. If it did, you would not use it that way. Amen. You know, Ray Comfort likes to use the good person test. And he uses the Ten Commandments to show people that they have sinned against God. Because he'll talk to people, and they say, "Yeah, I'm a good person. I'm okay. I'm all right with God." You know, he takes it to you. "Now, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you?" And a lot of times, they're just kind of smirking and grinning. "Oh, yeah, I've done it." Then he says, "Have you ever taken God's name in vain?" Just about everyone says yes. Yes. And he'll say, "That's blasphemy. That's a horrible sin to take God's name in vain." And the smirking and grinning goes away. And you see real conviction in their face. Because I think it's the first time they've ever heard that what they're doing is blasphemy. And that God takes it very seriously when you take his name and drag it through the mud. Doing that just shows open rebellion against God. Because God clearly commands us, don't do this. Don't take my name in vain. To do so is open rebellion against the Lord God. It's wicked. It's foolish. If you've got a problem with it, repent and ask God to help you to stop doing this. Not only the vanity of profanity, but how about the vanity of frivolity? Using God's name in a frivolous manner. We do this by making light of sacred things, making light of the Bible, God's Word. Write this verse down, Ephesians 5:3. "Let it not be once named among you, you Christians in Ephesus, as becoming saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting." You hear people tell jokes that make light of God or of God's Word. I'll tell you something, America has now produced a generation of silly, irreverent morons. You can't turn the TV on without seeing them. This is a generation that laughs at sin. They make a mockery of things that should be shameful. I tell you before, they may laugh their way into hell, but they're not going to be able to laugh their way out of it. Isn't that true? It's not going to be too funny when they end up there because of rejecting Christ and dishonoring his name. God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. You don't mock God and get away with it. Now, there's nothing wrong with good, clean humor. Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good, like a medicine. It's good for you to laugh. And we can laugh at good, clean humor. It's good for us. You ever go to the hospital to cheer somebody up? There's a lot to that. If you got a friend that's a patient in the hospital, you can go. I tell Tim, I said, have you got some good jokes to share? We want to cheer them up. It's like medicine. It's good for them to forget their pains and their troubles and laugh a little bit. So there's nothing wrong with enjoying good humor and laugh. We can laugh in God's house. I don't think that bothers God at all. And some of you need to learn this. Some of you never smile, let alone laugh. You worry me sometimes. Some of you look like you have a gallbladder attack all the time. Lighten up. We can come to God's house and we can laugh together and have a good time. Nothing wrong with that. I think God enjoys seeing his children have a good time in his house. But what we see today is a lot of sinful, off-color humor that we need to stay away from. You Facebook users, don't share posts that are profane. I see that sometimes. Some of our members, they take a post and repost it. It's got filth in it, profanity. I thought, what are they doing? What are they thinking? Reposting some of this garbage. And their name is right there connected to it. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't take God's name and use it in a frivolous manner. Then there's the vanity of hypocrisy. First, there's vain professions. Isaiah 48:1 says, hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth and not in righteousness. A lot of people today, they call themselves Christians. They don't live up to that name. What's Christian mean? Follower of Christ, an imitator of Christ. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, we ought to try to live up to that. Truly be an imitator and follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, hypocrisy turns a lot of people off. Saying you're one thing and then acting completely opposite of that. Parents and grandparents, we need to be very careful not to be hypocritical in front of our children. Saying something and then doing something else. They watch. They listen. I'll tell you, folks, we had a teenager grow up in this church years ago. He was kind of rebellious and had no interest in the things of God. His parents were very active, very faithful members. I tried to talk to him one day. He said, Brother West, my parents are one way here, but they're completely different at home. He said they're hypocrites. And as soon as he got out of home, he quit church. The hypocrisy of his parents turned him off to these things. Be careful. Be careful, parents, about your example before others and how you speak, how you use the name of God. Not only vain professions, but how about vain prayers? Can we pray in vain? Jesus said in Matthew 6:7, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. So there's such a thing as vain praying. Praying thoughtlessly, praying carelessly. You know, in some religions, they have prayer books. And they just kind of read their prayers and they have memorized prayers. They don't really speak to God. I think a lot of that is just vanity. When you pray as a family, The kids should be able to sense that mom and dad really are talking to God. Mom and dad know God. And then teach them how to pray. Teach your children how to pray. Teach them a bedtime prayer. There's one time when it's okay to recite, memorize prayers, and that's with our children as we're training them how to pray. Amen, Brother West. How about vain praises? Can we come to the house of God and sing hypocritically? We take the Lord's name in vain while we're singing because we don't really mean what we're singing. There's one hymn that says, "Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold." Then we pass the offering place and they're holding on to it with all their might. They don't mean what they're singing. That's just sham singing, isn't it? We'll sing faith of our fathers, holy faith. We will be true to thee till death. And then skip the evening services. We sing, I love to tell the story. And never do. Never ever witness to anyone. We can sing precious name, oh how sweet. And use that name in vain before the day's over. Hypocritical singing. See, Jesus told the Pharisees, in vain do you worship God. Because their hearts were far from God. It was just all lip service. I love to see these professional entertainers. The singers, they have a concert. They'll sing their songs promoting adultery, drunkenness, drugs, profanity, rebellion. Then they want to close by singing Amazing Grace. I thought, you got to be kidding. They don't mean anything by it. That song doesn't mean anything to them. It's just a song. It's just a song. It means nothing to them at all. If it did, they wouldn't be singing the garbage before. Number three, think about the magnifying of that name. Instead of misusing that name, we should be magnifying that name. 2 Samuel 7:26, let thy name be magnified forever. You ought to be like those first century Christians. We read in Acts 19:17, the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified by them because of their faithful witness of Christ. Three things you should share with your children about how to magnify the name of Christ. Number one, teach them to wear that name proudly. Wear that name. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be ashamed to be called a Christian. Proudly wear that name. Acts 11:26 says, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, which was in Syria. Gentile church, basically. They didn't give themselves that name. They didn't call themselves Christians. That's what the people of the city was calling them. Those imitators, those followers of Christ. It's a good name. You should not be ashamed of that name. But as let's wear it proudly. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, then live up to it. 2 Timothy 2:19, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you're going to name the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Yeah, we say it all the time. It's easy to talk the talk, but not so much to walk the walk. We need to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Walk the walk. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's what we mean by walking the walk. Walk in the Spirit. When you send your children, grandchildren to school, you might want to remind them, remember who you are. Remember to whom you belong. Remember that you're a Christian, that you belong to the Lord Jesus. And teach them to wear that name proudly. Never be ashamed of it. Secondly, we should share that name personally. Not only wear it, but share it. Teach your children how to share their faith with others, with their friends. Teach them about, I told you before about God has three books in his library. There's the Bible. That's God's book of revelation. So teach them the word of God. There's the Lamb's book of life, which is God's book of redemption. When you get saved, your name is written down in that book. See, Jesus told the disciples in Luke 10:20, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Revelation 20:15 says, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So make sure your name is written down in the book of life. Then there's the book of remembrance. We read about this in Malachi 3:16. Said, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, look at this, and that thought upon his name. Their names were written, their deeds and their words are written in a book of remembrance. See, God is so pleased when we think upon his name properly and speak of his name in the right way, he's so pleased with that that he would just stop and write it down. Or have an angel record what we say and what we do in a book of remembrance. And that book, I believe, is going to be open on the judgment seat of Christ. A book's going to be open, a book of remembrance. And we're going to be rewarded from what is said about us in that book. So challenge your children to make sure they're in those two books, the book of remembrance and the Lamb's book of life. Make sure that their names have been written down. They can write their name. You know, John 3:16, think about this. Everybody's got that memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, if I wanted to teach my child, Katie, about this, let's personalize it. For God so loved Katie that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Katie believeth in him, she should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is there anything wrong with that? To personalize this? To let our children know how important this is? They can know that their name has been written down in the book of life when they trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Then number three, we should bear that name patiently. Bear that name patiently. It's not going to be easy to live for Christ in these days. The name of Jesus is hated, I think, more than any other name in the world. It's hated. When we wear it and when we share it, we may suffer some reproach and some persecution. Paul spoke of the persecutions that he had to endure as a minister of Christ. And he said in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're going to bear that name, wear that name, and share that name, you'll get some persecution. There's going to be people that will not appreciate that. And they'll let you know it. Acts chapter 5, we read about the apostles like Peter and John dragged before the council for preaching in that name. And they were beaten. And in 542 it says, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were told not to do it anymore. They went right out and kept doing it. That's the way we need to be. Don't let the world shut your mouth in bearing that name and sharing that name. Do we do that? I mean, how good are we doing this? Now, we're talking about teaching our children, but again, by example, do they see us wearing that name and sharing that name and bearing that name? Do they see it? Let me close with this. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Said, being found in fashion as a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Romans 10:14 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's his name? Jesus. You're calling upon the name of the Lord, you're calling upon the Lord Jesus to save you. Now listen, you can bow before Christ now. You can confess him today to your salvation. But one day, every knee, including yours, is going to bow before Jesus. And if you have to do it at the great white throne judgment where the lost are judged, you're going to bow your knee to Christ, but it won't save you. Because you're not going to be bowing before your Savior. You're going to be bowing before your judge, who's about to pass sentence upon you as one who rejected his Son, Jesus Christ. Your knee will bow. Isn't it much better to do it now for salvation? To freely bow before Christ and confess he is the Lord. As we stand together, we had this hymn of invitation. If you're not saved, we invite you to come today. Come and be saved. Come and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Whatever your need may be, if you really don't know what to do to be saved, just come and say, preacher, I want to get saved. I want to know that my name has been written in the book of life. We'll help you with that. Just trust in the Lord. You can have assurance that if this is your last day on earth, you have a home in heaven waiting for you.